Four-man rush. Fields has time. Launches downfield. It's Olave. He's got a touchdown, Ohio State. A deep strike, and the Buckeyes stretch the lead again. 56 yards. Wow.
Because of the day when they say we are, we say we are the Buckeyes.
The handoff by Hoynes to George in a foot race, and he gets away. George is gone. Eddie George putting up more Heisman Trophy numbers.
Offensive line gives Troy plenty of time. Goes deep, Gens wide open. Wide open, folks. Touchdown. Here we go. Get out the adding machine. We're underway.
It doesn't stop being average. It begins to be elite when you can cross the line. Today is that kind of day.
Warden Schlager to the sideline, caught. First down.
Woo! What a hit. Denzel Ward. You got barbecue back there? And you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Don't let that team stand in the way. No way!
Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys Dan and Cass. Go Bucks!
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan, here with Big Cass. Tough loss for the Buckeyes this past Saturday, Cass, man. I know everyone's disappointed listening to this 1-1 on the season. We only dropped back to 9th in the AP poll, which is, you know, I'll take it, top 10. Defense was atrocious. Oregon beat us 35-28. We all watched the game. We all know what happened. How are we feeling this week, Cass?
Indifferent, if you wanted to put it that way. I think that this loss is going to wake up this football team. I'm obviously not worried because we didn't lose to Virginia Tech. We didn't lose to Purdue. We didn't lose to Iowa, who were initially did not have great seasons when we lost to them. Mm-hmm. Yes, it stings. Offensively, we've got a – first things first, I know everybody wants to talk about the defense, but I want to get the offense off my chest real quick. The only thing I have an issue with the offense is we got to be able to create more big play opportunities, and we have to convert on 4th-and-1 and 3rd-and-1.
Yeah, we need to finish drives.
Just finish, and that's my only issue, and I think that has to deal with that we have a freshman running backs. We have a freshman quarterback. And we have a rotation of offensive linemen that is different. I mean, Thayer Mumford was a left tackle, and that's playing right guard. Thayer Mumford was a right tackle,
left guard,
playing right guard, whatever. You have Nicholas Petit-Free, who moved from left tackle to right guard. You got Paris Johnson in there. So initially, and Luke Weipler, who's not even our starting center, but I think he's played very, very well, and he's probably earned that spot. So you got to you play a very, very good Big Ten team, and you play a very, very good experienced, is the key word, Oregon team. Mm-hmm. So I'm not concerned. We're going to get that. Now to what everybody's talking about is this defensively. And I'm an analyst. I'm a high school football analyst. And there's one thing I do want to say is people who have called me out, whether it was Twitter DMs or Facebook DMs, saying, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just a podcast guy. I'm just a fan. What people don't realize is I am a high school football analyst. I played 13 years of high school. I mean, not 13 years of high school football, but 13 years of football. I study the game of football like, I guess, no other. Am I Kirk Herbstreit, Joel Klatt, Desmond Howard, any of those guys? No.
Eventually.
Eventually, I could possibly, yes. That'd be great. But I know the game of football. But you just to sit there and call me out and say I'm just a fan that doesn't see the big picture. Well, I do see the big picture, and it's just simple things, like, honestly. But for to sit there and call me out when I'm just a high school football analyst for an internet radio website is just bogus. You're just like, you're a spoiled brat. Like, you're,
yeah, like, it's,
you don't know anything.
The like internet, you, the yeah. internet was ugly this weekend, Cass, on yes. like on everything yes. Buckeye, and like, this is just a PSA to everyone out there, like all, like to the Buckeyes on the internet. Just like, we gotta chill out. It's one loss. It was in the stadium too. It was getting ugly. Other Buckeye fans were yelling at other Buckeye fans. It was just, we're better than that. We are. We're much better than that, and it was just disappointing to see. It's one loss. It happens.
To the 13th ranked team in the country.
To now they're the 4th ranked team. It was,
yeah, like
they beat us. They were just better. They beat us by 7. I give them all the credit. I was impressed by Oregon, and they were down, you know, 2, like, what was it, 5 defensive starters, I want to say.
They were, yeah, I think it was.
I think we obviously know Flo and Thibodeau were the big ones, but I believe when it was all said and done, 5 defensive starters, and Ohio State still didn't finish drives, and that's what really bothered me, Cass. It wasn't Stroud was fantastic. If people want to just slander him because he's not Justin Fields, and they don't actually watch the game, Stroud made some great throws. He really did. I mean, my one critique with Stroud is just like, I wish he would run a little more with it.
I think that has to do with his tweak shoulder. I really do. Yeah. I think that's why he's not running, is because his tweak shoulder.
He did get banged up on that one run in the first quarter where he got hit out of bounds late.
Yeah.
But I mean, on that drive, he throws a great ball to JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba, who had a fantastic game. But up here, it was a little high. Still, you know, easy catch right off his hands.
He's a freshman.
Throws another dime to Cade Stover, which I don't know why we're targeting Cade Stover. We have Rucker. I don't know why that was drawn up for Cade Stover. That's a questionable call. But absolute dime doesn't hang on to it. And then there was, you know, the phantom holding call in the fourth quarter on Thayer Mumford. And then there was the pass interference in the end zone on Olave, which somehow wasn't called. And, like, these are all things that were kind of questionable in the moment. And when I'm sitting there in the stands, when I go back and watch the film, these are some calls that were blatantly missed, in my opinion. And it just coming down to finishing drives. Stroud, there's only so much Stroud can do when he's placing the ball perfectly on people's hands, or getting us down to, you know, inside the 5. But when we're giving the ball to, you know, Travion Henderson and Mayan Williams, they also need to get those extra yards. And I was honestly, I know I made the joke about this on TikTok last week early on about Master Teague, that we want to see obviously more Mayan Williams and Travion Henderson. And we did. We didn't see any Master Teague. And that surprised me a little bit, because I do feel like on some of those plays,
You're absolutely right, Dan.
I think he would have finished. I really do, and I'm kind of I'm shocked we didn't use him once. Don't get me wrong, Mayan was great. He wasn't getting those short yards sometimes, which he was getting them, you know, on first and second down, no problem. But for some reason on third down, he was coming up a little short. I feel like you got to mix it up and put Teague in there. And that's what I like.
You're absolutely right.
We got too much of Mayan Williams and Travion Henderson. We need a little bit more Teague, a little less Mayan. And I think we got a good formula going there. But that's my critique of the offense.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I was surprised not to see Master Teague and everything. But everything, you know, you're absolutely right, and that's my critique too with the offense. Is like we both said, finish drives and get us in good situations. And if we have to use Master Teague. He's the veteran. He's been there. You know, he's won a lot of games for us. So, like again, defensively, we can go on and on and on and on, just like everybody else says. Yeah. I really don't want. I want this to be a happy show.
Today, you know what happened on defense. Everyone in America knows.
and you know, today that it's sounding like there's going to be a different play caller. I hope so. That's awesome. Just to change things up. I've been hearing a lot of Ryan Watts replacing Josh Proctor, which I love because he's 6'3".
Which is interesting.
It is very interesting.
That's intriguing.
I do want to continue to see a lot of Lathan Ransom and Ronnie Hickman. Ronnie Hickman has very impressed me a lot.
Absolutely.
And it's going to help to see Palie Guiote. I hope I said that right.
Yeah.
Now that he's fully practiced, got his black stripe off, I think he's going to be a huge difference maker. He's played a lot of games. And yes, it was at USC. I'm excited to see him get on the field.
He only got four snaps last week. And honestly, though, he was confused on the one snap he was in. Believe it or not, it was Bryson Shaw that I think alerted everyone. I'll give Shaw credit on that play. I think we actually called a timeout there. It was the same play Oregon ran. It was just the motion guy over.
The stretch sweep.
Hit the outside. Stretch sweep. Yeah, it was to the left every time. And Shaw caught on. I saw him catch on, I think it was in the second or third quarter, but we still obviously didn't catch on.
Let me tell you this. When I was working with Fox, I didn't watch much of the game, but I rewatched the game because that's who I am. Whenever I heard Zach Harrison and Haskell Garrett, which I heard a lot, first and second down, I thought Ohio State played great. It was the third down. Like Ohio State's defense, they tried to run up. Oregon tried to run up the middle and first and second down, and we're stuffed.
Yeah.
But on third down, all of a sudden, our linebackers got blank. And boom, 70-yarder. Boom, 18-yard touchdown.
Yeah, it's our linebackers were atrocious. And obviously Tommy Eichenberg, everyone is just furious with his play. Not even with him. It's just why is he out there at this point? Because it felt like when
– And Carson Shaw, too. I've been hearing a lot,
Bryson
too.
Shaw, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's more kind of like I feel like he's out there more just due to Proctor. That was like more of an emergency.
Not to interrupt you, not unofficial, but our boy Jamie Sumner, who is a former Buckeye player, probably still has a lot of inside. And he just texted me and saying it sounded like Matt Barnes is going to be calling the defense this week.
Okay. So that should be interesting, which makes sense because he has some experience from calling defensive plays against with Maryland 2018, yeah.
And he was Jeff Hafley's go-to guy mm-hmm. in 2019. So, I don't hate it either. But going back, yeah, I mean
the linebackers, awful. Yeah. Even Taraja Mitchell, I don't know what's with him because he was in the right position. But he wasn't attacking. It was like I think even Darren Lee pointed out on Twitter, and obviously Bill Rubino, when he does his film, the holes are right there.
Yeah.
His eyes are right there. He's just not like attacking. It's I can't even describe it.
How bad do we miss Pete Warner right now? Because Pete Warner, who was in that same position, mm-hmm. attacked, and he had a chance to come back this year, and I thought. If we could have had Pete Warner come back this year, he would have definitely been a first-round draft pick, in my opinion. But, again, that right there proves how we valued Pete Warner, and now we know why it took so long to see Terada Mitchell on the field.
Mm-hmm. But then
I'm not knocking Terada, but they're going to get better. They're going to get better.
They're going to get better. I mean, the defense, I feel like, did make a few stops in the fourth quarter. But that's also when they were playing Cody Simon. I feel like when Cody Simon finally got on the field, we were actually making stops. And now I know he did have a couple plays where he didn't do great, but he had like a pass breakup. And I saw him in on a couple tackles. And there's a correlation when he was on the field, we were getting stops. And I'm not trying to be the Cody Simon bandwagon here, but there's no reason why he shouldn't be playing over – Eichenberg. I'm sorry. It's crazy.
I kind of hope that Ohio State goes back to a traditional. Obviously,
let's play two safeties high.
play two safeties high. Let's play three linebackers. Play a 4-3. We'll see. I mean, let's turn this thing into positive. And like we said yesterday when I texted you, I said, what if we put a guy on the field and a guy back on the booth like we did with Greg Schiano? And I don't care. That one dude, I don't know his Twitter handle, but I was scratching my head because when we lost to Purdue, we put Greg – granted, we had a bye week, but we put Greg Schiano back up in the booth, and our defense was
– A lot better.
A lot better. That's when we saw the emergence of Malik Harrison.
It was – yeah, you're absolutely right. And then Okuda and Arnett continuously improved from there. They played Sean Wade more too. They realized – that's when they realized, oh, we got to play number 24 in the slot.
Yeah.
And – yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And also it also hurt that Nick Bosa was out for the season that year.
Yeah. And if you look at it this way,
Paulie G, we're going to call
Pauly
him. Paulie G. Paulie, we were talking about this at Big Noon Kickoff, by the way. We're not even going to try to pronounce his name. He's Paulie G.
Yeah. But his body size reminds me of Malik Harrison, and this could be a way to see this defense. Now, let's turn the page here. Just the simple things. Follow your gaps. Don't over-pursue. Just keep – know your assignment and play your assignment and know your role. Mm-hmm. And stop rotating. Cardale Jones said it plain and simple. Stop rotating so many guys, play your best 11, and go from there.
I really – like, the problem is right now, I think Ohio State's really overthinking this.
For sure.
We need to get – we're trying to play
And fans are overthinking this.
We're trying to play a defense right now where I think would be – believe it or not, I think it would be better for a team like Alabama – where we're rotating in and guys out for matchups. Like, it's a high, high-level defense when you look at it. But the problem is it's too early in the season. We don't know our assignments. I don't even know if we're ready for this. So at this point, we just need to keep it back to basics. Just simplicity.
Yep.
Sometimes easier on defense. Because
put a coach up in the booth so they can see the whole field.
On defense, your guys have to be going full speed. Like, they got to have no fear. So even if it's just simple – simple stuff. Let our guys eat. You know, we have the talent. So, I mean, we're not going to be outmatched in most games. So, if I'm fine with just playing a simple base defense and going from there. And you know what? We might not be the best defense in college football, but we're going to be a lot better than 120th if we just get back to basics.
And what perfect opportunity to play Tulsa, who lost to UC Davis.
To be fair, they were missing, I think, like 6 or 7 starters because a couple of them got suspended from that fight in the bowl game. But still, it's UC Davis.
Yeah. And they lost to Oklahoma State. Yeah, they're going to be looking for a big win, but they're not as good as they were 2 years ago.
They were good last year. They had a lot of talent. They had Zach Smith at quarterback, Zaven Collins. They were a good team, but yeah, you're absolutely right.
We got Akron and then the unknown Rutgers. I'm calling them unknown Rutgers because they played Temple and Syracuse. Come on, Mike. But we have these 3 weeks heading, or 2 weeks, we'll give it 2 weeks before we head back into Big Ten play to get back, get our mind right. And I think you're going to see a totally different team. I think you're going to see a totally different Buckeye team. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be there Saturday. I'm taking my 9-year-old niece, who's never been to a Buckeye game. I was her age when I first went to a Buckeye game. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be. I mean, I'm jealous of you, Cass. I'll be at a wedding. My buddy Nick's getting married Saturday, literally at 3:30 when the game starts. So I will not be watching any of the game. But to be honest, I feel like I do need a cleanse after last week, after the Oregon game. It's going to be good for me. It's like a makeshift bye. I'm going to rewatch the game when I get home next day on Sunday, but I'm not going to be obviously watching the game. But honestly, I think we're going to kill them. It's Tulsa. There's not a ton to break down about Tulsa. And I mean, I'm just I just want to say, though, before we kind of get into Tulsa more, I was just grateful to be at the stadium, honestly, on Saturday. I think we all need to kind of just take a step back, deep breath, just be thankful that we have a season. We're back to almost normal right now, minus like the masks and all that. But being able to watch the Buckeyes in person, man, I came to Big Noon Kickoff, which was awesome. I cannot stress this enough. If you ever get a chance to go to Big Noon Kickoff at any place, wherever team you root for or whatever they're playing, go. It was cast, man. Big Noon Kickoff was so much fun. I had literally probably the best time of my – not time of my life, but the best time I've had in like a year or so at Big Noon Kickoff. Got free Wendy's, saw the legends there. But, man, just being back in the shoe, I blacked out so hard when the band came out. And I know the one guy fell too. But I blacked out so hard. Me and my buddy Alex, we were there and my girlfriend was there too. And I blacked out so hard, completely sober too. Just a blackout of like, oh my God, I'm back. I was so locked in just like listening to the band, having a moment that like, oh my gosh, we're back in the shoe, that I completely missed the guy falling down. Like everyone saw it. I didn't apparently. But I was just happy to be back, man. And I'm just grateful I got to go to a game this year. Cass, I know you're going to the game next week. I'm going to go, obviously, be going to more games. I'm just, win or lose, man, I'm just always happy to be a Buckeye. And I just want people to take a step back and just, you know, just remember, you know, it's wins or losses. We're all Buckeyes. And this university is so great.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great to see fans out. I don't know if people have me on Facebook or not, but I took some pictures of Big Noon Kickoff while I was working. And seeing the fans just made me tear up really bad. I appreciate you, Dan, and Bree coming out and visiting while I was working, or lack of working. we were giving out T-shirts, hats, and big-ass air footballs, which we only had like six of those. We were supposed to give out these foam fingers, and I said something to one of the cameramen. I said, man, I hope nobody comes by and sees me stroking these foam fingers to stretch them out. But we never handed out any of them. And I do appreciate all the love and support with the Big Noon Kickoff. You know, I had a lot of interaction on Facebook. I'm actually supposed to be in Norman, Oklahoma right now. I got invited to go work down there, and unfortunately, that was not able to happen. I wish it did, but
yeah.
But it happens. I got some opportunity. Hopefully some opportunities come up. And mm-hmm. It was such a great time. You know, fist pump Reggie Bush. Didn't get to ask him the question that my brother wanted me to ask him, but which was, does he get visitation rights from Fresno State because he made them hit their – yeah. But I did get to interact with Brutus. Yeah, the duck. Which I'm getting blamed for this, and now that I think about it and look back, I got a picture with the duck.
Oh, yeah.
But I got a picture with Brutus, too, so don't worry. And people are blaming me because I got a picture with the duck. And I want to apologize to Ted Ginn Jr.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I've been waiting for this. I completely forgot about this.
I want to apologize to Ted Ginn Jr. I thought I was told that it was Santonio Holmes. So I didn't see the Twitter, but I was told by somebody at Fox that was Santonio Holmes. Went up to him, and I swear it looked just like Santonio Holmes.
You know what though?
But it was Ted Ginn.
It kind of does. Like he kind of does resemble Santonio Holmes. If you Google Santonio Holmes, and then like Ted Ginn. In some pictures, depending on what hairstyle they're in, it could be very similar. Like but what gave it away was Ted Ginn put it on his Instagram that he was literally there, which is hilarious.
But I didn't know that, so
yeah, no, that was a bad omen right there, though. I mean, that's where Oregon won the game, Cass.
But my brother said, what's the odds of Ted Ginn Jr. and Santonio Holmes having the same forehead. I mean,
yeah, so. No, like you Google their pictures and they are literally spot on. Pretty similar. And they played like at the same time too. That's what's crazy. Like they were both receivers on that team. So that's hilarious in my opinion.
It's okay. It happens. I meant well.
We were not our best Saturday. The Buckeyes weren't their best. Not even the ticket entry system wasn't even good. Like people
I'm glad they added 147 more.
Dude, no. What got me angry actually was, so I'm very superstitious and I'm not trying to sound like I have a drinking problem, but for some reason, every time it's a big game for Ohio State, if I don't drink, we lose. So of course I didn't drink for the first half against Oregon. And I'm like, oh my God, like the superstition's coming true. I gotta have a beer. And literally I went down at 2 minutes before the second quarter, the halftime started, just to beat the lines. I didn't get back until after the 70-yard touchdown in the third quarter. That's how bad the lines were for a beer.
I was already picking up smashed Wendy's in the ground, half drinking bottles of vodka, half drinking Frosty Chinos, trash. I was already picking up trash for a big new kickoff. Let me tell you. At half from 9:30, right before the show started, till halftime, after the halftime show, I didn't do anything. But boy, after the halftime, we started working our tails off. Post game came, finished, boom, after that. So from 2 o'clock till 8:30 when I left, I was nonstop moving. But it was totally worth it. But yeah, like, I'm glad Ohio State got all that fixed, it sounds like.
Yeah.
I can't wait for take my niece and let's start on Tulsa. I don't know much about Tulsa other than the fact they lost to UC Davis and Oklahoma State. Close games.
So Tulsa, the Golden Hurricanes, their defensive scheme is a 3-3-5. So if you think Ohio State has a weird defensive scheme, look at Tulsa. Then their offensive scheme, it's a veer and shoot. So it's, I guess it's the veer, like from the, what's that movie? Remember the Titans with Rev? They run the veer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's like there's a little more passing.
They have zero touchdown passes.
Zero touchdown passes. Davis Brin is their quarterback. He has 425 yards on the season, 61.8% completion percentages, two picks, and a long throw of 61. That's probably all going to double by the time he gets done with this defense. But
I think the defense is fixed. So
yeah, I'm just being cynical. And then their running back is Deneric Price. He's decent, 185 yards, two touchdowns on the year, averaging 6.2. That's all going to go up after this week. I'm being a jerk.
I'm trying to be pot. I'm trying
I know.
To be
pot. I'm being cynical. Their leading receiver has six catches. Keelon Stokes, six catches, 114 yards. They're not really. Nothing really jumps out to me about their team. Nothing. This is like the most average team. Even like their defense. They have three sacks on the year, one interception. It's Justin Wright, their linebacker. It's just like they're not exciting. I'm sorry. I think they're kind of in a rebuild because they lost, like I said, Zach Smith. He was like their quarterback for a few years. Zaven Collins,
not the menace to society.
No, not Zach Smith. Not the menace. Not the guy who threw a giant tailgate across from the shoe. But they're just not that great, Tulsa. It's going to be like the game in 2016, I think, where the defense does come to play. And yes. I did post the Marshawn Lattimore pick six with Malik Hooker blocking. And Malik Hooker actually responded to us on Twitter. He said he hurt his knee on that play. He said he really scraped it, and he still has the scar. So I was that's from Malik Hooker. He did tell us that breaking news, but that game was the infamous like monsoon game.
Yeah.
Where it just poured and poured and poured.
Wasn't it like an hour and a half lightning delay too?
I left at halftime. Yeah, we just made it to halftime. We were up 20-3, I believe, thanks to two pick sixes in the first half, which kind of broke it open. Then the lightning delay hit, and I left.
I remember watching it and stuff, but I think this is going to be totally different. I think you're going to see 30. I think Ohio State's going to ring up 30 points in the first half, and I don't think they're going to give up anything in the first half.
I do expect a really good defensive performance. If Ohio State gives up yards to Tulsa and we don't look coherent on defense, then I'm about ready to hit the panic button. But I do think this is going to be a get right game. The over on this game, last time I checked, it was 60. Let me double check it. I'm just
26.5 point favorite too.
26.5 point favorite. And the over under is 61. I have 61 over on, well, and then over under on the spread is 24.5. So depending on who you're using.
Oh, it's gone down.
Yeah. I don't see this game being an issue. I know we're going to be fired up.
I think we cover.
I think we get a big day from Olave.
I think Denzel Burke gets a pick six.
Someone on defense is going to score a touchdown. Absolutely. I think
not
too.
Not named Haskell Garrett.
He always scores for some reason.
Speaking of Haskell Garrett, I'm going to throw a little plug out. If you haven't gone to his page, his website, he has merch. I, for one, Big Cass, has bought his merch.
Haskell the Rascal.
Haskell the Rascal.
Love it.
Shirts. Came pretty quickly. I'm not going to wear it Saturday. I'm going to wear my Rutgers jersey. I'm excited to have his merchandise. And
that's impressive.
It's only $28. Go get you a shirt.
That's impressive. It came out. It shipped that quickly, too. I mean, man's playing football.
It took about a week. It took about a week.
That's not bad. I mean, man's playing football, going to school.
Obviously, he has
and
running it.
Running, probably. He's running a small business, but I love it. I mean, I think this week, I think someone, a young guy, is going to step up. I think Julian Fleming's due for a touchdown. I really do. Yeah,
I think Julian Fleming has a big day. And I think you're going to see a little Kyle McCord.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to see
Zach Miller.
We're going to see another OSU quarterback in this
game. Or will it be when yours? That'll be next week. Never mind.
That one I'm excited for. That's going to be it's my birthday weekend. And that's a night game. Akron, we're going to absolutely destroy, but it's going to be fun.
I can't wait. It'll be my wife's going to get to go, her aunt. We got ADEC tickets for that. That's part of the package bundle. We got a night game. I know a lot of Buckeye fans are pissed off about that, but hey, I think there'll be another night game on the schedule, and I think it's going to be Purdue. That's just my opinion.
I want to get a blackout going for Akron. Just everyone wear black. Like, we're going to just blackout.
Wear our blackout uniform for Akron. I'll wear my Sean Wade black jersey.
That would be, I got the Ben, rocking the Ben Victor. But I mean, all in all, man.
Yeah.
We just got to do the keys to victory. My keys to victory are on this one. Keep it simple. Go back to basics. Let's play just good old Ohio State football. And let's get, you know, our running backs. Let's finish some drives here. The whole offense, let's finish drives. You know, fourth and one, got to get it. No holding penalties on third down. Stroud, don't be afraid to use the legs. Just let's clean up some of the mistakes that we've been making. And that's my keys to victory. Just keep it simple and finish.
Mine are just grow from this loss. Keep it simple and go back to basics and go win this game 63-7.
I like that prediction. I'm going to do,
That's not my prediction, by the way. It's just a go win that by that much.
I got Ohio State. Well, I'm going to give my prediction. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Ohio State 56, Tulsa 10.
I have 59-10.
Okay, yeah. But, I mean, their touchdowns, they might get one early, and then they might get a field goal, or they're going to get one late. I really do think the defense plays lights out, but I got 56-10. You got 59-10. We'll give up a touchdown. Ideally, we'd love to pitch a shootout, but this is a game, I think, where we're going to be rotating in guys in and out near the end. So they might get a garbage time touchdown. Not too worried about that. All I got about Tulsa. They're not really a threat.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get into our picks and you announce our deal that we got going on, I just want to shout out to the NFL Buckeyes. Week one,
yeah.
we had a great week one. We're so far having a great week two. Scary Terry has six catches for 60 yards already and a touchdown. Chase Young got a stupid passing of roughing the passer that wasn't even roughing the passer. But all in all,
Terry McLaurin had the number one play in SportsCenter.
Yeah. Ohio NFL Buckeyes are playing well, obviously. That's what we do. We got 50 current former Buckeyes, which is second to Alabama, who has 57. So Ohio State is showing out in the NFL. I know Cincinnati's got Von Bell, Eli Apple, Isaiah Prince, a couple others. I know Billy Price is playing tonight, and he's playing pretty well for the Giants. We got some guys.
Nick Bosa did pretty good against the Lions. I mean, at one point, it looked like he's getting triple or quadruple teamed on one picture.
Yeah, I'm seeing Chase Young get triple teamed tonight.
Chase Young chased down Saquon Barkley tonight, by the way. Well, it didn't chase him down, but ran stride by stride with him for 46 yards. That's all you got to know about Chase Young.
So, tomorrow night, I get to call Military Appreciation Night for Military Appreciation Night and Biddy League night at my alma mater. Eastern is traveling to Bern Union. Bern Union is I was doing a thing, my prep earlier. Mm-hmm. Bern Union has beaten their opponents by 27 points or more. The way they scheduled this schedule. Was against playoff teams from last year. What happens, those teams are rebuilding. So it's not Bern Union's fault, but they're doing what they're supposed to do. They've beaten some league teams. They're 2-0 in the league. And it's week five already in high school football. And tune in tomorrow night, Fairfield County Sports Network, for some Division 7 football action.
Love it. I love it. Cass is always going to do a great job on that. Definitely make sure to check that one out. And I mean, it's time for picks now, Cass. But before I got to plug our people too, we're doing a college football and NFL contest with play action pools. I post a link on our Twitter and I post it on our Facebook. I posted one today around noon. Check that out if you want to join our play action pools contest. It's free. See if you can beat us. But Cass, man, I mean. This is an okay week of college football.
I think there's two or three games that I'm really intrigued.
Yes. There's a couple games where we're very intrigued. Not like a gigantic matchup. I would say probably the best matchup on paper, but rankings wise is probably Bama, Florida. That's intriguing. I, I, I still think Bama's going to crush them. We do have, though, I mean, the one I think everyone's really excited for is the Auburn-Penn State game. I think that's the one everyone has circled.
I think Penn State crushes them.
I agree. I'm definitely going. I mean, let's start. I mean, Cass, which game do you want to start with?
Let me pull up my ESPN app. Sorry, guys, I'm on my phone. My computer is being two kinds of dumb right now. So let me bring up my. I should have done this already. I'm sorry.
No worries, my man.
All right, I mean, here we go. Let's start with Michigan State and Miami.
Yeah, I mean, that's decent on paper.
Yeah. I want to say Michigan State, but I think Miami being at home, you know, at minus Cats falling from the ceiling. I like Miami close. I just think they finally get something going.
Michigan State has overachieved so far. They're 2-0. They're better than expected, I would say. But I do think Miami has the better players, better talent. They've also, you know, they played Alabama. I feel like playing an SEC team like Alabama, I think they're going to not be afraid of Michigan State. And I think they have the best player, De'Aaron King. So I do like Miami. I think, honestly, Miami will win big.
20 years ago, this matchup would have been great to see. I'm not even going to do this one. But I want to shout out to my crew. Let's get it done. Have a great show on Big Noon Kickoff down there in Norman. This game is going to be a blowout. I'm not even going to pick it. But the game below it, Cincinnati at Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great game. Well, the Nebraska-Oklahoma game, I will say, is all I got to say about this. I'm not picking it. But that's I used to do this last season. Keep your eye on that one. Because if Oklahoma, there's one thing about Oklahoma, they always tend to lose early. If when they lose games, they either lose like I feel like it's like between weeks 3 and 5. And there's nothing about this Nebraska team that should really scare them. But keep your eye on it. I think that might be decent. It might be a decent game. I'm not saying Nebraska is going to win, but I wouldn't be shocked if it was a 1 or 2 score game in the fourth quarter. But let's go to, I mean, like you said, Cincinnati, Indiana. Who you got, Cass?
I think Cincinnati, but we finally see, I mean, is Indiana, can they be that team to, you know, they're 1-1. I know they're hard to make out this year. Was their loss to Iowa that bad? Ritter is on their radar. Cincinnati in big games typically hasn't shown up fared well, but I don't consider this a huge game. But I'm going to go with the Bearcats just because I don't know about Indiana, but I feel like Indiana can make the upset.
I'm going to go with the Hoosiers. I think.
Let me tell you before. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go.
Let me tell you. I hope it's the Hoosiers, so my cousin will shut up.
I mean, like, look at the week one against Iowa. I feel like that's kind of a mulligan. Penix threw 3 picks. They didn't look great. I think that was more Penix just getting his feet under him after that brutal injury. Indiana kind of figuring everything out. Yeah, I mean, Penix played a lot better against Idaho the next week too. Like it's obvious. I mean, talent wise, I don't think Cincinnati's much better than Indiana. I think Indiana's home crowd, they're going to be going nuts. It's a big game. I mean, losing to Iowa hurt them. Don't get me wrong, but Indiana still controls their own destiny. They can still, you know, potentially have a great season, potentially technically win the Big Ten East still if they win out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm going to go with Indiana. I think they're going to bounce back.
All right.
Here's one. Hold on. Here's one. Purdue, Notre Dame.
I'm going with the Irish. I know the Irish have been scrutinized lately. They've gotten some two very, very close wins. But this is a game where everybody starts counting Notre Dame out, and this is a game where people start predicting the upset. I mean, it's very capable, but I'm going Notre Dame at home in a rivalry game.
I agree. This is a game where on paper your head tells you, oh, Notre Dame might lose this, and then they're going to win by like 40. But they have not looked good.
They have not looked good. Think the Buckeyes have looked bad?
Yes. Notre Dame is undefeated, and they've dropped out of the top 10. So that just think of that, because they barely beat Toledo. They beat Florida State, who then had lost to Jacksonville State. So they're not very good this year. Things are not looking good for the Irish. 3:30 though, Cass. We got about two more games, I would say, after this one. 3:30, Bama, Florida, in the Swamp. Does that change anything for you?
Bama wins, but closer than what people think. I'm going Bama 38, Florida 27.
So Bama is a machine. They're going to win, I think, honestly, bigger than that. It's going to be because Florida's replacing so many people. That number 15, though, on Florida, their new Tebow, if he plays good, they might have a shot to make this.
Their defense is pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I still
think 38-27. I just think the Swamp, fans back. I mean, I know they had fans last year, but this is probably the biggest game in the Swamp in 2 years. Yeah, but I still think Bama wins, but it's going to be closer than what people think. And 11-point victory against the 11th-ranked team in the country is not close.
No, it's not. This is the one thing I want to say about Bama. I know I might sound crazy now. I feel like they're peaking too early. I do too. It reminds me of 2014 where we, obviously Ohio State lost early, and then Bama seemed like this indestructible flow, this team that could not be beaten, this, behemoth that, was mauling teams. I think they might be peaking a little early. I really hope so. That's why Saban's so angry too, because he knows this team thinks that, they're just going to walk into places and stomp people. And it's going to be very interesting what happens when they make it to the playoff. Just saying, I'm going to take this take, lock it in a locker. I think they run through the regular season, win the SEC, no problem, but keep your eye out when they get to the playoff.
Absolutely. And I think there's only one really intriguing game. I mean, Arizona State, BYU at 10:15. But we all know number 22, Auburn at Penn State in the Whiteout.
It's going to be great.
I think this is the chance for the Big Ten Conference to kind of put the SEC on notice and say, hey, we're better than what you think. Give me Penn State big.
Oh, man, this is tough, this one. Penn State is a favorite. 5.5-point favorite. I mean, yeah, absolutely give me Penn State, because if this was like obviously like Ohio State or like a Michigan or a team that at least understood the concept of a whiteout, I would give the road team a bigger chance. But it's Bo Nix, it's Auburn. I don't think they really comprehend what they're walking into.
There's been a lot of trash talking.
It obviously gets loud. I'm not saying it doesn't get loud in the SEC, but it gets absolutely insane at Beaver Stadium. And if you just look at and this is their first whiteout too in 2 years. So I just pray that all my Penn Staters, you have a safe and responsible tailgate. Don't go too hard. Don't drink.
Because the game starts at 7:30.
Yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint. But I mean, I'm cheering for them. I want Penn State to be highly ranked when the Buckeyes come. You know, when they come play the Buckeyes, because I got tickets. So, give me Penn State. Penn State by 2 touchdowns.
I agree.
And then I think Penn State will jump up and be like a top 6 team in the AP poll if they do that.
Okay.
I could see that happening, them propelling up, obviously jumping Ohio State, and then they'll be probably like a 6 or 7 in the AP poll. And then they'll hang around there for a few weeks until our game. They'll probably be like 4. They'll be like, right, the college football rankings will come out. Penn State will be number 4. They'll be going nuts, hype up the game, and then we win by 2 touchdowns, and then we take their spot. That's how I'm seeing that play out.
On brighter notes, U.S. Representative Anthony Gonzalez, former Buckeye wide receiver, said to Thursday that he will not seek re-election on the Iowa's 16th congressional district, and he was 1 out of 10 House Republicans that voted to impeach Donald Trump. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's who knows.
So I want to gloat here a little bit. I felt like a king Sunday night because
the Bengals.
I successfully predicted the Bengals to beat the Vikings and the Browns to lose to the Chiefs.
Well, I picked the Broncos to win. So, who you're looking at a man who's 1-0. All I gotta say, oh, I completely forgot to mention this, and I don't want to like. I'm so mad that Desmond Howard was right, that Oregon would beat us.
I was trying to avoid that.
I know it had to be brought up. It's like a blind squirrel finds its nut once in a while. A broken clock is right once a day. That's the most frustrating thing out of all of this. When I think about it, it's not even we lost. It's just that fucking Desmond Howard is right. Like, that's what pisses me off. Come on.
You had to go there.
I was going to talk about it when we were talking about Big Noon Kickoff, and it just crossed my mind. But damn it. Damn it.
It's the one thing. Bush is still better.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just, damn it. Why? We made Desmond Howard right, and that's what's killing me the most.
By the way, if you're watching this NFL game, they're running Daniel Jones away from Chase Young and getting yardage. smart play calling by Jason Garrett.
That's hilarious. So
that's all I got.
That's all I got too. I'm going to be at a wedding this weekend, so I will not be tweeting much, probably at all, from the account on Saturday on Twitter. So send all complaints to Big Cass on Twitter. He'll be at the game. And that's really all I got to say.
I may not have the descriptions of the videos, but I will have videos up because Dan's typing is totally better than mine. I will admit that. But
Cass is just going to keep the video simple. He's just going to put TD, just TD video. There you go.
TD, like, INT.
INT.
Might have Cass. A picture of my niece. You know, you never know. But I will keep the interaction on Twitter as best as possible.
Absolutely.
Got to keep that going, man. Like,
yeah, if we take a week off from Twitter – like during the game, it kills us. It kills it. Like, it's like you need to keep
going. We might lose a thousand followers.
I was freaking out inside the stadium because the Wi-Fi wasn't great and none of my tweets are going through. And I was like my Bree and Alex were like, dude, you're like sweating because you can't send a tweet. What's your issue? I'm like, I know. I need to live tweet the game. That's what I do. So I'm not even going to bring my phone to the wedding. I've decided this because I will literally be live tweeting the game if I have my phone in hand.
They'll be live tweeting the ceremony
live during tweeting. The game. Yeah, that's all I got, though, man.
He said yes. He said, I do.
He said yes. Ring bearer looked great. Took great footsteps to hand off the ring. We got.
But the flower girl did not throw any pebbles.
Girl made an incorrect read. Flower is now in the third pew. Just.
Everybody, have a great weekend. Enjoy this Buckeye win. I'm very confident that we're going to win big. If you're going to the game and you see me with my 9-year-old niece, don't be a douche. Tennessee Jeff. Just kidding.
No, it's going to be a fun weekend, man. Buckeyes are going to rebound. Everyone keep your head up. Keep your feet moving. Keep that chin up. All I got to say is go Bucks and let's beat the Golden Hurricane.
Go Bucks.